And welcome back. It's midday. I'm Tom Hall, now continuing our coverage of some of the important local stories in and around Baltimore. There have been some changes in the leadership of the local chapter of the NAACP, and a racially charged controversy erupted last week when some students at local private schools dressed up as Freddie Gray for Halloween. I'm pleased to welcome Kamau High back to the show. He's the managing editor of the Afro-American newspaper here in Baltimore. Hey, Kamau, good to see you.
Good to see you, Tom. How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks. So the NAACP, the local branch.
Yes, not the national branch, which is also based here.
Yeah, that is also based here, but it's we're talking about the local branch. Tessa Hill Aston was elected as the head of the Baltimore City chapter back in 2010. And then she's no longer in that position, and it's a little unclear as to why that is.
Yes, it's a story of competing realities. I mean, she is no longer head, and she maintains that she resigned from the position. Our reporting bears out that she was asked to leave. And so, and now the local branch is actually being run by Gerald Stansberry, who is the state president of the Maryland NAACP. The former first VP, Ronald Flamer, is the current president, but everything has to be run through the Maryland NAACP for sort of any big decisions.
So each city or jurisdiction has its own branch.
Exactly.
Then there's a Maryland branch.
Yes.
State branch, and then of course there's the national version. The headquarters happen to be here.
Exactly.
So how do we make sense of this? I mean, she had Ms. Aston had a pretty contentious election when she was elected.
Yeah, she went up against ACD Vaughn.
C.D. Witherspoon.
Yeah, sorry.
Right. Who's an activist and a minister here in town with a lot of supporters. In that election, supporters of Reverend Witherspoon did get elected to the board.
Yes.
And Ms. Hill Aston sort of, you know, has implied that the people who were in his camp have made life difficult for her.
Yes. I mean, those are many of the same reports that and reporting bears out that there was almost sort of not open warfare, but it was a contentious relationship between the two, sort of a fight over which direction the NAACP would ultimately go in. And it appears that it is going in a different direction now. We'll see what Gerald Stansberry, what sort of direction he sets for it. And then ultimately when he leaves and they put their own leadership back in place, which should take place in about a year, then I guess the moves will be up to them to.
So this will be a long process.
Yes.
I mean, a whole year.
Yes. That's what we're hearing so far.
Yeah. Ms. Hill Aston was quoted as saying, these things happen all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about the complaints that were lodged to her or lodged about her
against the national thing.
I was going to resign anyway. There's rumors and there's gossip, but I'm not entertaining that. CD, meaning Reverend Witherspoon, has not been a friend to my camp. So it's not like all of a sudden the national board happened, you know, to take a look at Baltimore and say, oh, there's problems there. People made it. Made them aware of it.
Yes, I mean I wouldn't say it's unprecedented, but it is unusual for the state level NAACP to come in and take over. I've spoken to people who are formerly in the leadership of the NAACP office here in Baltimore, and they tell me that one of the issues was sort of the process, sort of following the rules and the regulations, and like Robert's Rules of Order are a big thing in the NAACP. And one person told me that there's actually a book that they hand you when you become president of the NAACP that sort of lays out exactly what should happen and what sort of training should happen. And they said that Ms. Hill Aston was not following some of those procedures.
Is there any suspicion or accusation or intimation of, you know, financial misdeeds?
There have been rumors of that. There's nothing that we have put into print and because we cannot back up those allegations, but there have been intimations in the air, but nothing that we would be willing to sort of say on the record.
Jonathan McKinney, the Afro reported, he's the NAACP Region 7 field director, and he reported evidently at a meeting of local branch members that not only Ms. Hill Aston, but the secretary and the treasurer of the local branch were removed by the national board. That was evidently supposed to be confidential.
Yes.
It was not supposed to be for public. However, the meetings of the local branch are public.
They are public, yes.
You got to wonder how that's why you reported it. So it really, it's going to be tough, I think, for the local branch to regain the confidence of the members. In full disclosure, I'm a member of the local NAACP, and you got to wonder if they're not running the railroad quite right, then what does that mean?
Exactly. And then also on top of it, the membership of the NAACP tends to be primarily older people. And so you're talking about a group of people who would be willing to sort of come together and vote on who should be the officers and sort of getting that amount of people together to sort of vote on who they want to be and what direction they should take, I'm sure will prove to be difficult, but not impossible for them.
All right, we will keep an eye on that. Let's talk about another very troubling story that you all covered quite extensively, and this is some graduates and current students of private schools in North Baltimore last week for Halloween dressing up as Freddie Gray, these pictures.
Prisoners.
Prisoners. They were posted on social media. What happened here?
Well, also, I would like to say, just as upfront full disclosure, my daughter does go to Roland Park Country School,
What's one of the schools that has a student involved?
Exactly. Yeah. Although I'm not obviously speaking for Roland Park Country School, and myself nor my daughter actually know the young woman involved who's not being named because she is a minor. I just wanted to get that out of the way. But yes, so from what we know, the Roland Park and Gilman, which is where the two of they dressed up as prisoners, and the Roland Park young lady, she had cornrows in her hair. She had what appeared to be a fake tattoo on her face and appeared to be making what looks like gang signs in the picture. Now, from what we understand, a third party who was not one of these private schools then added a racially insensitive caption to the pictures. And then those circulated on social media, causing a fair amount of outrage. Now, what we also know is that at Roland Park, the Black Student Union has put up notices throughout the school sort of expressing their concern about this. And we also know that at Gilman, the alumni, the Black alumni chapter is also circulating a letter and sort of asking their alumni what they should do and trying to figure out what the appropriate action are.
So Sean Yost, who does a podcast for the Afro.
Yes, and is a Baltimore editor.
And is a Baltimore editor and a fine journalist, wrote an op-ed piece about this that recalled his reporting back in October of 2006, time ago, when students at Hopkins, hosted a Halloween in the Hood party. So this is nothing new, and it certainly predates 2006 by a long shot. One of the things that strikes me as the core of the problem is that you quoted a parent of one of the students who was involved in this, and he or she, and again, they didn't identify the parent because that would lead to identification of the student who's a minor, that the photos were taken out of context and given inappropriate captions. And the quote from this parent was, "There are costumes that are widely available, and the responsibility for this lies with folks who misrepresented what went on." The parent said these kids were just having fun at a Halloween party.
Yes, I mean, I will say in their defense, the prisoner costumes are available at Party City. It's, you know, it's not like they had to sort of go and make them themselves. I think the controversy sort of comes with the addition of cornrows, because as we all know, obviously there are Caucasians who are in prison as well. And none of the students are being accused of wearing blackface, thankfully.
But one of them did write Freddie Gray in the back of the costume.
Exactly. That was, I believe, the St. Paul student who did that. And so, yes, it is troubling. I mean, if I can just sort of quote from the letter that the Black Student Union put up at Roland Park, which is that one line, which is that our culture is not a joke. And the fact that prison is distinctly part of our culture is even less of a joke. That is one view.
Yeah.
And it certainly seems like a lot of alumni are very upset.
Well, we have to leave it there, but you are going to stop by every couple of weeks. We're going to talk about other stories that the Afro is covering.
Yes, we are. Yes, I am.
Look forward to it. Kamau Hai, he's the managing editor of the Afro-American newspaper. We've got a link to all these stories at WIPR.org/midday. Coming up tomorrow, it's Midday Culture Connections with Dr. Sherry Parks of the University of Maryland. We're going to talk about the Weinstein scandal and sexual harassment, assault, and pedophilia charges, and what we will be doing moving forward. recovered from all of that. We want to thank the Diz for supplying lunch today. They're located at 300 West 30th Street in the heart of Remington. They feature signature burgers, wings, steaks, and jumbo lump crab cakes. The Diz is open for lunch and dinner, with breakfast served on the weekends. You can find them on the web at thedizbaltimore.com. I'm Tom Hall. On behalf of the entire Midday team, appreciate your listening. Have a great day.